on today's Compassion Radio.
When we come from the Western world, we think we're coming to bring Jesus,
right,
and all of his glory to the African people. And that's just not the case. We receive much more than we could ever give when we serve. And so I think that's what it is for me now. It's actually receiving in those relationships as I give.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the daily ministry broadcast journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Welcome aboard on this Friday. And keep in mind that this is the weekend when we launch into daylight savings time in most parts of the U.S. Now, in today's lively discussion, we pick up where we left off yesterday in a conversation between three amazing gals named Sandy, Sonia, and Sonia as they talk about stepping out of the culture and into the kingdom. Here's Bram Floria.
Sandy, we're back for a special part two of this series that you were personally involved with, not just reporting, but experiencing. You got to spend time with these dear ladies that we're all going to hear from again on today's program. So what can we look forward to seeing this time?
Well, the gals are going to talk about how they got involved in overseas ministry, how the Lord called them to a deeper ministry in Kenya, not just back and forth a few months at a time, but how he began to call them to move their entire lives from the United States and the ministry that they got involved with to start spreading the gospel in a cultural way that was relevant to Kenya, stripping away all of their Americanisms and preconceived notions about what it was like to share the gospel and teaching them how to be culturally relevant where they were.
Okay, friends, we're going to see what it's like to step out of culture and into the kingdom today on Compassion Radio. So here's Sandy to set up today's episode.
Again today with Sonia Crawley and Sonia Pass, sharing about their life work and ministry in the country of Kenya, East Africa. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank
it's good
you.
To be back.
When we wrapped up yesterday, Sonia, you were telling us about your beginning involvement with TMS Global that was sending you full-time into Kenya. And you talked about how your church was eager to be part of that sending, but they knew that they were not able to carry life insurance and health insurance and all of the things that you might need as far as support raising went. So they connected you with TMS Global. How did that relationship ramp up, and how did you get involved with them full time?
Great question. One of the main things that was most attractive for us was the fact that, one, they provided cross-cultural training. It wasn't enough just to say you feel a call to serve in Kenya, you have a heart for people, but they wanted us to dig a little deeper so that we would be prepared and equipped to present the naked gospel to people that we serve and minister to. The whole idea was that we wouldn't come to Kenya and try to grow little Americans in Kenya.
Good. Perfect.
But that we would come present the naked gospel so that our brothers and sisters could see what God can do through them, because he created us all and there's a culture in Kenya. And if God wanted all of us to be American, we would have just been one country.
Right. So when you say the naked gospel, explain what you mean by that.
When we say the naked gospel, what we mean is just presenting the truth of the word of God without dressing it with what we would do in the U.S. or a particular way of worship or a particular song to sing or a particular jargon. It's just the truth of the gospel, presenting that so that individuals can see themselves in the kingdom of God.
And how would you go about doing that?
For instance, if we were going to teach the word of God, understanding number one, what cultural implications are here, or what cultural implications were there, how men are respected, how women are treated, different aspects of the gospel. So presenting it, giving the gospel so that individuals can see themselves in it. So we wouldn't have the expectation of singing a particular song, allowing worship in the native language and with the dance and with the drum, everything that makes Kenya, Kenya.
Right.
Not changing those things, but showing them the word of God so that they can understand it and apply it to their lives and their own circumstances.
So removing the American filter from the gospel and presenting it just in a raw way that can be seen for what it is, the truth.
Yes.
I like that. So you have lived in Kenya for 5 years now?
Almost 6 years now, full time. We lived here from 2005 to 2006 for about 7 months. We've been here for about 6 years under the leadership of the Mission Society, TMS Global.
Okay, so that's the same thing then, the Mission Society and TMS Global?
Yes, actually, it was the Mission Society, and as of January 1st, 2017, we are now TMS Global.
So how different is it from visiting every few months than living there full-time?
Wow. It's a world of difference, because before we used to say we were coming from the States to Kenya to visit and then returning home. Now we're home in Kenya, and when we go to the U.S., we are going there as visitors. So the tables have turned. This is truly home for us. Relationships that we've built as it relates to all of the ministry, really feeling as if we have a not even extended family, but family here.
Right.
In Kenya. It's totally different, where we're coming back saying, hello, it's been a long time since we've seen you. And now we see a person today and then we see him again the next day. So it's not reintroducing yourself. It's allowing us to continue relationships that have already been built.
So you made the choice to move full-time to Kenya, and as home for you. Kenya is home. How has that affected the choices that you've made about being there, your relationships with the locals? Do they see that in you, that you're calling Kenya home now?
First, let me start with decisions that we make since we are living in Kenya. The first conscious decision we needed to make was to just be and not try to force things. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
The traffic here is horrendous.
Right. Yes, it is.
And to put that in a clearer perspective, anywhere that there is an open space on the road or sidewalk or field,
right.
A driver of a vehicle believes they can drive there.
Yes, I've seen that.
So to come just as a visitor or to come just on an itinerant assignment, the thought process for me would have been, okay, I just need to get through this. This is just a few moments. I'll be back to my norm in a week or two. Difference now is that, okay, this is just life, mm-hmm. and it's the norm. So I'm going to just calm myself down. If calming down is praying in the traffic, expecting to be there, just a lot of, Lord, help me to just relax in what's happening. Because what we've learned is that when we relax in those moments, then the Lord is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's making connections, sitting in traffic. It's an opportunity to talk to the driver driving the car. They may feel a little bit more comfortable about sharing something that's going on in their life. So it's an opportunity, because every single thing now is about ministry. It's about discipling people, leading them to Christ. And we have to look at every situation and every opportunity as if it is, because it is, literally about showing Christ, becoming a beacon for Christ in every single situation.
I think that's a great way to live. Even people here in the United States, we could say that to our listeners, living on mission right where you are, making the most of every opportunity in traffic or walking down the street or in a restaurant, using those opportunities for kingdom purposes.
Absolutely.
And it also, it has changed the way we view our time in the U.S. when we go back for visits or for home assignments. Last year, we were in the States, and it was time for us to come back to Kenya, but we felt like the Lord was extending our time, telling us to stay another month. And he told us to go to Georgia. He told us what city to go to, but we didn't have a place to live. For the 30 days we were going to be there, we didn't know where we were going to be other than the city, specifically Clarkston, Georgia. Mm-hmm. But weeks before that, he gave us very specific people to make contact with, and we did that. And long story short, we had an individual that we met at a school like 3 days before when we needed housing. We spoke to a different friend, and they reconnected us with the same person that we had met 3 days before on a totally different assignment.
Okay.
They ended up giving us their house for 30 days to live in for free.
Wow.
So the mindset of really seeking what it is that God wants us to do as it relates to ministry every single day, that transfers over into every area of our life. And so when we go to the States now, it's a totally different experience because of our life here in Kenya.
Yeah.
Some good life lessons to take home on today's edition of Compassion Radio. March is always a special time of year for us since we'll soon be celebrating our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry. This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73 or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter. And if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the program.
So what would you say to someone that's listening to this? They might be saying, well, you're full-time missionaries. Of course, God is going to speak to you like that. Of course, he's going to provide connections and contacts and housing and all those sort of things because you're a full-time missionary. I'm just doing my job. I'm just working at the store. I'm in an office all day long. You know, how does that affect me or how do I live like that? What would you say to them?
My first response would be that's exactly how we started. Both working full-time jobs initially, as Sonny was saying, in corporate America, but volunteering in HIV and AIDS and working with persons living with HIV and AIDS. And that turned into a deeper passion for us individually because at the time we didn't really know each other. And then God expanded that for both of us. I personally applied for a position that on paper, I did not qualify for in any shape, form, or fashion to work for this AIDS service organization. And when I interviewed, they told me that literally the qualifications that they were looking for, I didn't have any of them, but I had the passion and the volunteerism as part of my background. And mm-hmm. So I ended up getting that job. So I left corporate America in order to work for this nonprofit organization out of what I believe was a direction from God. And then from there, he just began to make ways even clearer and to the point where I ended up quitting my job. I also want people to understand that that may not be what God is calling you to, because like you said earlier, we all have a responsibility wherever we are,
right,
to represent Christ and to be that beacon of light that Sonia spoke about. And so we had to be that even in corporate America before the Lord transitioned us into where we are now. And everybody's process will not be the same, but everybody does have a call because when they serve a missionary God, that means we're all missionaries.
Right.
Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. The earth. Mm. Salt is flavor. Mm. It adds flavor. It adds something special. It changes the entire atmosphere.
Right.
And so the earth could be wherever you are. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So we are called to make a difference wherever we are.
That's good. That's good. Now that you're full-time in Kenya, what are you able to do now that you would not have been able to do part-time in Kenya?
Probably the first thing that comes to mind, what we're able to do now full-time, is have deeper relationships. When we were going back and forth, the conversations that would begin, the comfortability with just talking with people, it would have to end because we would go back to the States. And when people don't always have access to the internet or telephone calls, then you lose that closeness. But being here, you have the opportunity to develop deeper relationships and to literally do life with people. And not just about what we do for them, but it grants us the opportunity to become deeper into the culture and truly, truly understand from the perspective of our brothers and sisters that we're serving what this culture entails, which is so very important because we miss opportunities and we miss many times making the gospel come to life or helping people to understand how to apply it to their current situations if we don't understand the culture. Mm-hmm. So it enables us to build deeper relationships and have a greater understanding of the culture we're serving in.
So how is that transition, that shift in mindset that you're living there full time? And I know that many of them probably even thrive on serving you the way you thrive on serving others. And how did that mindset change for you when you begin to receive from these people that you were developing relationships with? Relationship is a two-way street. You can't be the one that's doing all the serving all the time. There has to be some receiving in relationships as well. How did that transition happen and the effect that it had on you and your ministry?
For me personally, it was difficult for me to receive initially because I was so focused on being here to give.
Mm-hmm.
But the culture here is to give. So there are many here that want to give to you. I remember one time in particular where we had given personal things to a couple of women and they wanted to give something back to us. And we kept saying, no, you know, we came to give to you. So it's okay. You don't have to give us anything. And they kept saying, no, my sister, we have to appreciate you for what you've done. And we kept saying no, but we realized that when we tell them no, it's really, in a way, blocking their blessing, an opportunity for them to show hospitality and love to others. And so I remember this particular time when we were driving away after we said no so many times, the ladies just gave up. But as we were pulling off, they asked the driver to slow down, and all of the things that they had been trying to hand to us, they threw them in the window of the van and tapped the side of the van and asked the driver to go fast because so we couldn't give them back to them.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful.
So it's much easier now to receive because, as Sonia was saying, it's that relationship. So we're here, so it's give and receive and give and receive. So it's a mutual relationship. It has changed the way I receive what they have to offer, which also in turn changes how we present ministry opportunities for others that come to serve us. Because oftentimes when we come from the Western world, we think we're coming to bring Jesus
right,
and all of his glory to the African people. And that's just not the case. And so oftentimes, if we prepare our hearts properly, we receive much more than we could ever give when we serve. And so I think that's what it is for me now. It's actually receiving in those relationships.
So when we receive like that, what can we learn about how Jesus gives?
That he gives unconditionally, without strings attached, without expecting anything in return. But when it happens, I just think about a woman washing his feet and then drying them with her hair. That was not something that he expected, but at the same time, it was a blessing for him. And then it was an example for others to see what service really looked like.
Right.
And so I think that would be my answer.
The other thing for me is that in building relationships, the constant give and take, I think it has redefined for me what giving can be.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, not giving a morsel to eat, not necessarily giving clothes to put on your body or not necessarily giving a pair of shoes, but sometimes it's giving your attention. It's giving a listening ear. It's just sitting with. Periodically when we have guests, and you witnessed it when you were here, Sandy, we have guests, we have dear people that come and help us serve and help assist and help run the house when we have guests. And one of the young ladies that was doing cooking, she wanted a drink of water and she was in the kitchen. She said, "I want water, please." And she was handing Sonia the cup. And Sonia said, "Okay, the water's in the dining area. You can get your water." And she looked a bit hesitant. She was very hesitant. When we were asking, "Why is it that you don't want to go?" She said, "Because guests are there."
It was actually Sandy.
Oh, it was actually
was it me?
Sitting in the dining room. She said, "You have guests." And we said, "Okay, that's fine. You're welcome to get water. Just walk in, speak, and, you know, you're fine."
Oh.
And we'll learn. That sounds like something that's so trivial.
Right.
But what we learned was that historically, when individuals have served or they have worked helping in a household, they've literally been told if they're in a serving capacity that the guests should not see or hear them. Hmm. They are not allowed to come outside of the one room that they're working in.
Now, remind me of her name again.
Pauline.
Pauline. So I don't know if you knew this. I'll just interject a little story here. When I left your home and we were driving along, before we left your area, Pauline was waiting for a ride at the side of the road. And we picked her up and she rode with us in the car for a ways and had just a sweet conversation with her. Nothing deep, nothing major, just checking on her and seeing how she was. And she had questions about the United States. And just interesting, after she left your house, I actually got to see her again. So that was kind of sweet for me. And I thanked her again for dinner, and that it was lovely. And
Oh, nice. Yeah, very nice. <laughs> Yeah.
So we're going to wrap up today's program in reminding us. Let's just recap what we've talked about. You're moving to Kenya, decided to move full time, and you're really immersing yourself into the culture there. And if you'd be willing to come back again for one more show, I'd love to talk to you about what you see the future of the church in Kenya or in East Africa and what the Lord is helping you to dream for in the future of your ministry there.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We would love to.
Again, Sandy, this is awesome stuff from the two Sonias.
So what are we going to hear about Monday?
Well, Monday we're going to hear about what their dreams and passions have actually grown into as they expand their ministry to other areas, how they ramped up their ministry in Kenya with the training school that they helped start, how they're training up leaders in the country of Kenya to go to their own people. And their sending church has been vital in that, and their covering church in Kenya has been vital.
Friends, stick with us for part three of the Kenya Report with Sandy and with Sonia and Sonia.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, trying to disprove him, actually, but coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was, in fact, a real person. He died and rose again for him. And watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was a very beautiful film. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but they've improved greatly in the past 2 or 3 years. Now, this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood. ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter, especially when questions come up from friends or family who go to see this film.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lee Strobel, as Bram said, has done an amazing job of investigative journalism into the truths of Jesus' death and resurrection.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're always there for you online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give there safe and secure. CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.